It's time for your KDNK local newscast for this Tuesday morning, October 11th. I'm News Director Gavin Dahl. The town of Carbondale begins reviewing the proposed 2017 budget at tonight's trustees meeting at Town Hall at 6 o'clock. Roaring Fork Conservancy is one of the largest watershed organizations in Colorado. The 501c3 nonprofit was founded in 1996, so this year is their 20th anniversary. I visited with Watershed Action Director Heather Lewin at their office in Basalt yesterday to learn about their 2016 Voter's Guide to Water Issues in the Roaring Fork Watershed, now available around the region. Talk about your role as Watershed Action Director.
As Watershed Action Director, I cover a few different bases on our science side of the organization. So I work to help coordinate and organize studies for both water quality and water quantity in the valley. I also manage conservation easements throughout the valley, as well as working on different water policy issues. And that's where this Voter's Guide to Water Issues comes about. So we put this together to help inform voters within the valley of different water issues because, as we know, candidates are busy. There's a lot of different debates and a lot of different forums, and water questions don't always get asked in each different debate, even though to us they're very important, and we know to a lot of people in the valley they're very important. So in order to help inform the population, we've asked all the candidates throughout the different races these different questions. We've printed about 500 copies, distributed them throughout the valley from Glenwood to Aspen in all the libraries and various coffee shops and other places that we think people might be able to stop by, sit down, and give them a read. If you don't find them in one of those places, you can also find them on our website, www.roaringfork.org.
So in preparing your 2016 Voter's Guide, you asked candidates two questions. Let's start with the first one about Colorado's water plan. What are the objectives you've asked about?
Well, as Colorado's water plan was completed last year, there are certain priorities that came out of that plan. There's a supply and demand gap in the water world right now. There's concern about water conservation, about land use, about agriculture, and about storage. So we've asked each candidate to address two of those issues, how their policy might affect those issues in the Roaring Fork watershed or on the state level or on a bigger level, depending on what office they're running for.
And then your second question is about the relationship of water, agriculture, and recreation.
Given that recreation and agriculture in the Roaring Fork Valley are both important values to the citizens here, we thought that learning how they prioritize the recreation and agriculture, both culturally and economically, would be interesting for voters to understand.
And so what's your take on the responses or lack thereof?
We were happy with the number of responses we got. We realized that water is an important issue to all of these candidates, regardless of whether they were able to respond to us or not, that it is a priority in Colorado right now at a state level, at a county level, and really at a national level. So we were thrilled from everyone we heard from. And just to be aware, our Colorado Senate District 8 is not represented in our print guide, but is available online.
And then you guys have the names of everyone else that you invited who you didn't get responses from by the deadline in the back of the book.
Yes.
Heather Lewin, Watershed Action Director for Roaring Fork Conservancy. Thanks so much for sitting down with KDNK.
Thank you.
The top two candidates in Colorado's U.S. Senate race will meet in Denver this evening for their only televised debate of this election. The Libertarian and Green Party candidates were not invited. Rocky Mountain Community Radio reporter Benta Berkland asked a few key questions of incumbent Democrat Michael Bennett and his opponent, Republican El Paso County Commissioner Daryl Glenn, ahead of the event.
Our questions don't focus on policy per se, but were intended to help reveal the character of each candidate. Because he is the challenger, Glenn's answers will be featured first. We started with what each would fight for on behalf of Colorado.
It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or unaffiliated. Three things that people are passionate about is the defense of this country. The second thing is energy independence. And the third thing is dealing with our debt, fiscal responsibility. Those three things, if we have a good plan, and I believe Colorado is the bedrock. One of my other taglines is I believe it's time for Colorado to lead. Because when you think about what we bring to the table with those questions, we should be leading the nation on how developing a pathway forward.
I'll give you three. I think fixing that immigration problem is one. Figuring out how we invest as a country and as a state in infrastructure, I think, is another important one. And continuing to move us toward energy independence and toward cleaner forms of energy is another.
Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have strong but differing views on immigration. We asked how they would tackle the issue if the new president is not from their party.
Your job is to fulfill your constitutional requirements, so it doesn't matter who the president is if you're doing your job. Your job is to lay out a plan that looks at what's in the best interest of this country. Those things that we agree on right now, and I would believe that 70%, if you would actually do polling on this, people are concerned about people that are wanting to come to this country and do us harm and being able to control that. So we need to come up with a plan to stop that. We already have laws on the books. If you have laws on the books, you have one of two options. You either follow the law or repeal it. So why don't we deal with that? And the third thing is we already have a legal way to access this country and become a citizen. So why don't we use technology? Why don't we take a look and really break that down and find out what the problems are and see if there's a way to be that can be more efficient? Because when we do those things, again, it opens up the door for future conversations.
Well, I hope he won't be elected president, in part because of his position on that issue. I mean, his position on immigration in this country is not a traditional Republican position, and to say nothing of Democrats or independents. It's a radical view of the situation. It doesn't relate to what anybody here in Colorado, not anybody, but most people in Colorado, believe. And I think that the bipartisan work that's already been done in the Senate, and I give huge credit to the Republicans who sat in that room for 8 months with me and some other Democrats, John McCain, Jeff Flake, Marco Rubio, and Lindsey Graham, who negotiated that bill, knowing exactly what the base of their party would say about it, knowing exactly what Ted Cruz would say about it, probably not knowing what Trump would ultimately say about it. But I think that bill not only helps fix the immigration program, it's the only a bill that's passed either house of Congress that has real border security in it, doubles the number of border security agents that we have, creates real internal security, which we need in this country, but also creates a pathway for citizenship for the 11 million people that are here that that has been unresolved, and does it in a way that is fair to the people that have come here in a lawful way. So one of the really unfortunate parts of this campaign has been Trump's calling on banning entire religions from the country. His answer to immigration is build a wall. And I advise him to take a trip with John McCain to visit the southern border of Arizona and see the feasibility of that and to deport 11 million people from this country.
Our closing question deals with what legacy each would want to leave. In the case of Gerald Glenn, if he is elected to the Senate, and Michael Bennett, if he is reelected for a second term.
Restoring trust. That is so important. You know, you can talk about policies, but when you're actually out there talking to people, the theme behind that is they've lost their faith in government. People, like I said, have gone through, they will say whatever they need to get into a position of authority, and then they let you down. We're humans. We fail. But if the one thing that people can say at the end of the day after I have served is that we put our trust in him and he did what he said he was going to do. It's by having a relationship with people, being willing to talk to them, look them in the eye and ask them, what are those things that you're concerned about? And then standing up and fighting for those principles.
I think our office has been more successful than almost any other office of navigating the dysfunction in Washington, D.C. and producing results for Colorado, whether it's the Farm Bill or the work we've done on solar and wind tax credits or lifting the ban on crude oil exports from the United States. So we've been successful at navigating the dysfunction. I'd like to go back to help lead us out of the dysfunction. I think Washington is in many ways a mess and has decoupled from the priorities of people in Colorado and across the country. I think my bipartisan track record over the last 7 years has set me up in a position to do that, and that's why I'd go back.
That's incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator Michael Bennett and Republican El Paso County Commissioner Daryl Glenn. Ballots for the 2016 election will be mailed to registered voters starting the week of October 17th. I'm Benta Brookland at the State Capitol.
And just a reminder, you can listen to all our election coverage this cycle by going to kdnk.org, hovering over the news button in the menu at the top of the website, and selecting 2016 election. For Eye on Crime, Amy Haddon Marsh takes a look at Carbondale and Glenwood Springs police activity from September 30th through October 9th.
The victim of a weekend homicide at the Pinyon Pines apartment complex outside Glenwood Springs has been identified as 28-year-old Blanca Judith Jurado Salas, a resident of Glenwood Springs. According to the Garfield County coroner, Jurado Salas died of multiple gunshots. The suspect, Gustavo Olive Tellez, was apprehended in Grand Junction this weekend by the Grand Junction SWAT team. Olive Tellez was also wanted on a previous domestic violence warrant and has now been charged with first-degree murder. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent reports that 24-year-old Michelle Castillo was also arrested on charges of accessory to the crime. Her bond was set at $100,000. Olive Tellez and Castillo are set to appear in Garfield County Court today. This is the first homicide in Garfield County for the year. Carbondale Police responded to 258 calls for service between September 30th and October 6th. Arrests included three DUIs. Officers also responded to a report of domestic violence at 100 Roaring Fork Avenue, harassment at 511 Colorado Avenue, fraud at 1402 Greystone Drive, a non-injury accident on Village Road, and an indecent exposure call from Roaring Fork High School. Officers met with the school principal and determined that the crime took place off campus. In Glenwood Springs, during the same week, officers made 19 arrests, including five DUIs, three for domestic violence, two warrant arrests, three for disorderly conduct, two for illegal camping, three for fighting, and one for trespassing. That's it for this week's Eye on Crime. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Tomorrow, the Glenwood Springs Chamber Resort Association, the Post Independent, and others present the Issues and Answers Forum at Glenwood Springs City Hall starting at 5 o'clock. State Senator Randy Baumgartner and challenger Emily Tracy will appear. Garfield County Commissioner John Martin and his opponent John Atcha have confirmed as well. Plus, 9th Judicial District Attorney Sherry Kaloya and her opponents Jeff Cheney and Chip McRory will be on hand. Republican Congressman Scott Tipton, not going to be there, but Democrat Gail Schwartz, his opponent, will be present. In addition to talking about the 9 statewide ballot initiatives, there will be discussion of Glenwood ballot questions 2H and 2I, the acquisitions and improvements sales tax extension. The Aspen Sopris Ranger District of the White River National Forest seeks comments on proposed plans for vegetation management in the Upper Frying Pan watershed in Eagle and Pickens counties. Forest Service is completing an environmental assessment that will be used to determine whether to prepare an environmental impact statement or not. The Ranger District will host an informational meeting about the project October 26th at the Carbondale Public Library from 5:30 to 7. I'm sure all of you will be there. Kids First and the City of Aspen provide a financial aid program to help defray childcare costs for working families. The deadline for new applications is coming up November 1st, with assistance to begin December 1st. Applications at Pickens County licensed childcare programs, Kids First, or at kidsfirst.aspenpitkin.com. For more info, contact Kids First at 970-920-5769.